Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing? It was a valiant effort from your Bears last night. Valiant
effort. I hate you, Robbie Stanley.
They tried real hard out there.
Yeah, I told you guys, we stink, all right? It's just that simple. They stink this year. The offensive line, you know what? I was actually encouraged at how they ran the ball last night because I like David Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I thought they ran the ball legitimately well. But, I mean, the offensive line's just got to get a lot better in pass protection. You know, when you get the scrub that is Sammy Watkins make plays against you, it's just going to be a tough night.
No question about that. Corey, speaking of not good, how about those Indianapolis Colts yesterday getting shut out 24-0 by the Jags? The kryptonite for the Colts is going down to Jacksonville. Man, they've looked awful the first 2 weeks. Awful.
Well, you know, I mean, Matt Ryan was going to find the fountain of middle age this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's lead the Colts to the promised land because, you know, the moment you put on the horseshoe, it automatically elevates you to Peyton Andrew Luck status. We heard this about Jacoby Brissett. We heard this about Phillip Rivers. We heard this about Carson Wentz. I'm missing some guys, but we've heard this about a lot of guys. I put up a poll yesterday asking who the Colts quarterback is going to be in 2023 because after they pull the plug on Matt Ryan when they go, you know, 7-10 or whatever they're going to do this year. But good Lord, I know the commentary we're going to hear all week is this. Well, the AFC South is so bad, it's still the Colts division to win.
Maybe. I mean, I think some people say that, but boy, I know coming straight out of Indy, there's a lot of more talk, big picture talk about like the coach and the GM and, you know, a really ugly situation. Well, let me ask you though.
Did you hear what Frank Reich said after the game?
Yeah, we talked about some of that. Yeah.
As pathetic as that was.
I still believe, yes. Yeah. So first of all, you think that this is a seventh? You think this is a losing football team? I know right now they look terrible. The losing football team this season?
I don't know. Look, you're never as bad as you are on your worst day and never as good as you are on your best. So do I think the Colts can come back and win some football games? Sure I do. Sure I do. But my point is simply this. The Colts are overrated every year by the national media because for some reason they still think Peyton and Andrew are there, and they're not. And the Titans are simply still the best coach team in the division, and that's what it comes down to.
So let me follow up. Sorry, Robbie.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, I think Doug Peterson's done a decent job of putting some points on the board. You know, they scored against the Commanders, but so did your Lions a lot. You know, you have to wait and see. I thought the numbers for Trevor Lawrence were a step forward yesterday. I think he only had 4 or 5 incompletions in the football game. But I think, you know, getting the shutout is the shocker. But how much of the shutout is them and how much of it – what is it that the Colts do when they get to Duval?
That's a great question.
What is it that they're doing there that makes them completely unable to play football?
They got some great golf courses in that area. I know that. I don't know what they do down there.
Nice beach.
But look, you play the games you've got, and the Jags have been in position to be 2-0. They're 1-1, and so we all knew that Doug Peterson was an adult running the organization, and so they would be better. And they've been fortunate. They've had 2 really winnable games to start the year with. You know, you would say the Titans had a winnable game to start the year with, and they didn't get it done. The Jags didn't get it done week 1. You know, the Texans didn't get it done week 1. The Colts didn't. Nobody in the division got it done week 1. So I think they've taken a step forward. I think ultimately talent is going to play out. And, you know, we'll see how many games the Jags win. I don't know what their over and under this year was, probably 5 or 6 or something. And, you know, they'll probably fall in that 5-7 range somewhere before it's over.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, Monday Night Football tonight between the Titans and the Bills. What do you make of this matchup? And what is the roadmap to a victory tonight for a Titans team that is heavy underdogs heading into this game?
You know, there's a lot to that question, all right? Because, you know, you take a lot out of last week and you take a lot out of the Bills. There's a lot that's got to happen. But where I start with is Jeffrey Simmons. I think Big Jeff has to have a big game up front. I think you need to get pressure in Jared Allen's face so that he can't elevate in the pocket. And then I think the guys on the ends have really got to bracket him. Okay, and in the past, the Titans have done a good job of that. So I don't think it's as important for Weaver and Dupree to crash from the outside as it is for them to hem in. Okay, and then Jeff's got to collapse the pocket. I'm very interested to see, do they line him up over Roger Saffold, or do they look for a better matchup and move Jeff around? I think that's going to be one of the really big things that we see tonight. Obviously, offensively, Titans have got to be better on third down, especially third and short. Third and short was ridiculous last week. But the other thing I'm looking for offensively is making it a priority to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers, because, you know, four or five targets to Jeff Swain isn't going to get it done this week. They've got to get the ball to Robert Woods. They've got to get it to Treylon Burks. You know, they've got to get it to guys who can actually make plays with the ball in their hands. Sometimes you have to say, hey, I know Jeff's open for a 3-yard gain, but I've got to take this shot in getting a 20-yard gain with this guy because he can actually make a play. And they're going to have to score points tonight to win.
And, Corey, look, Todd Downing, I mean, even today with listeners on our text line, a lot of discussion about Todd Downing. How important do you think this game is for him, too, just to have a good game plan, a good, you know, scripted first drive, to be a little bit less predictable? I know everybody's going nuts about the Chig sweep, which I totally understand last week, but just predictability, I feel like, has got to be less apparent tonight.
Yeah, I mean, what was the stat on the Henry first down carries? It was high. Pretty overwhelming. It was pretty overwhelming. At some point, you have to use that to your advantage, right? You know, you can't play checkers. At some point, you got to play chess. But, you know, like we talk about this, you know, we keep banging away at Todd Downing on this. He is pushing forth the game plan that they, as a staff led by Mike Vrabel, put together. So, you know, this is a philosophy of the team. So it's not just Todd Downing. And you know, I looked for the philosophy of the team with Tim Kelly on board to change more this year. And like since last week, they had 18 passes to 12 runs in the play selection in the first half. But again, it was still all first down runs. I'm sure the Titans could point out, and they wouldn't be wrong, that, look, we're in third and four, third and three, third and one. You know, we're in a position in all these downs. We just got to execute them. I can't remember who it is, so I can't give them credit. They said that the Titans, you know, don't need to be so married to third and short. How about not even getting to third down? And that's a thought. But, you know, you do need to eventually use your predictability to your advantage for some quick strikes.
Corey, how big a loss is Christian Fulton for this game, and what are your expectations for Caleb Farley against a very challenging Buffalo offense tonight?
Well, I think Fulton's hamstrings are reaching Julio Jones status. I mean, he's had a lot of issues, and to me, you know, it's starting to get concerning. You know, when healthy, he's a good football player. And, you know, we've seen him match up against some really good ones. And Stephon Diggs is as good as anybody they're going to see. So this is a really tough matchup. You have to think that Josh Allen is going to go after him. And Roger McCreary. I mean, they got two young guys out there who, I mean, McCreary's played a lot of corner, you know, going back to Auburn, but Farley hasn't. I mean, he still has not played a lot of that position in his life. So he's going to get a baptism, you know, by fire in this one. You know, but he's a long, physical player, and I think he needs to use that to his strength. He may draw a couple of penalties, but I'd rather have a couple of penalties than a couple of 60-yard plays.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm really interested, Corey, in terms of when the Titans are matching up. You know, of course, Gabe Davis, not yep. Sure about him, but I wonder if it's just straight up McCreary on Diggs. I tell you what, whenever a corner is completely unnoticed in a game, That says something to me. And there seems to be a lot of McCreary covering people so closely that they just don't even throw that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, they love the kid. I mean, when the defensive coordinator calls out and says he's not a rookie when he's a rookie, that's, to me, about as big of a compliment as you can. And when the head coach doesn't play him in the preseason, I think that's an even bigger compliment. I mean, like, I think Roger McCreary is a tough nugget, all right? I mean, he may not be the longest guy, but he's in your shorts. He's a steady tackler. He's strong, and he's a football player, and I think he's a wonderful match, you know, for this football team. And as you go into tonight, I'm not worried about Roger McCreary. That doesn't mean he's not going to give up some catches, but I'm not worried about Roger McCreary, and I'm not worried about the game being too much for him.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, Bears have the Texans and the Giants in the next couple of weeks. Maybe some winnable games.
I'm just going to say congratulations to Joe Rex Road.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on the roar being restored?
Yeah.
Hey, 6.5, I'm taking all bets that they're going to be under that. So if you'd like to jump in on that action, jump in.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll take
okay.
7.
There we go.
All right. 7. There we go. We got a lot of dinners up. We're just going to have dinners all around. All
right. Now we're talking.
All right.
Corey, appreciate you.
All right. There you go.
Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Bills. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, you've got a message from OrderGreen.com.
I do. Because OrderGreen.com is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. Fantastic benefits for me, mentally, physically, friends of mine, a friend's mom who is struggling mightily, helping with pain and nausea, a lot of benefits, wide selection of high-quality THC and CBD products at OrderGreen.com. Edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, you name it, they got it. And the team knows these products inside and out. You can know you're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers. We're talking nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And you save 25% off every shipment of gummies if you have a subscription. So use promo code JOE20, that's JOE20, and get 20% off your first purchase. OrderGreen.com.
Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. You can enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. We are taking your thoughts now on the Titans and the Bills. Wes in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I feel a Mike Vrabel special coming up tonight. We're supposed to lose. I think we dominate the Bills. This is from Wes in Clarksville. Ron on the text line says, whoever's job it is to cover Diggs needs to be on him like toilet paper on the heel of your shoe. Tighten up.
Never heard that one before. I like it.
Good stuff, Ron.
Yeah, it's like Buford T. Justice, Smoking the Bandit. Hope y'all got that reference. Yeah.
The Vrabel special part of this is going to be a big talking point today. I mean, this, I think, would certainly qualify. You're a 10-point underdog. Heading into Buffalo, you just lost the game to the Giants. Your number one cornerback, I assume, as presently constructed. Although I guess you could make an argument maybe Roger McCreary is your number one cornerback. But your number one corner's out tonight. I think this qualifies as a Vrabel special if they're able to pull it off. This is going to be a challenging one to pull off, though, as we pointed out with the several different matchups that Buffalo just has. They got a lot of strength. They got a lot of depth to their team as well. But Titans pull this one off. This is up there with the Vrabel specials.
It would be. And, of course, it would then bring up – well, the thing is, this schedule doesn't have a bunch of easy games. In fact, the way the Jags and Texans look so far, like uptick in competitiveness both ways, I think – I don't know, man. I'm intrigued, especially by the Jags. But There aren't a ton of those. Like, when the next time they do come across one of those games that they're supposed to win, we'll be talking about the Vrabel special the other way. But you'd rather have that because that means you're 1-1. And I mean, I guess if the Titans are going to continue that that tradition, they're going to have a really good record this year because they have a really tough schedule.
They do. I mean, you mentioned it. The Jags, they looked pretty good through the first 2 weeks so far. Texans have fought hard. You know, the Raiders are 0-2. And they're playing them next week, but I think the Raiders got a lot of talent offensively. Oh,
yeah.
So
the Raiders, the Raiders and Browns both yesterday. Well, Raiders, Browns, and Ravens, all three incredible losses.
Yeah, it was incredible to watch. And you know the Raiders, they had it right there the whole time, and then Kyler Murray took off the video game headset, went back out there, and started throwing the ball around a little bit in the second half.
Made it look like a video game.
He did.
He dominates. So real quick, I want to ask you about Todd Downing because there was some debate within the Titans media corps last week. You know, Todd Downing called himself out for the Chig play. Took responsibility Friday after, so we haven't had a show since then, and basically said, you know, that was on me, bad call. I'm paraphrasing. I agree. PK is like, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, it doesn't fix it, but you'd rather have someone who made a big mistake that everybody's talking about, go ahead and say, yep, that was my bad, then not. But others have said, like, somehow this, like, opens the door more for him to be or for more for fans to be all over him, and I'm just trying to understand that line of thinking.
Well, I mean, look, fans are going to be all over him regardless.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know if it's opening the door anymore. Like, I can already tell you, if they lose this game tonight, regardless of how it goes, one of the things we're going to be talking about tomorrow is Todd Downing, just because that's where I think a big portion of this fan base is with him. Like, this is a really important stretch with him to get the offense operating better, and he's receiving a lot of flack right now. Like, I like that he took responsibility for it. I think it's good. I think, you know, look, especially after watching Ken Whisenhunt walk around here and never take responsibility for anything. Like, I find it refreshing to see coaches do that. It doesn't really make me feel that much better about it because my response is, hey, let's try not to do that again as they move forward here. But I don't think it opens up the door to any more criticism. Like, I think he's heavily criticized and scrutinized as it is.
I guess the idea being, well, you said it was your fault, or it's even more your fault, huh? No. Yeah, look, it doesn't fix anything, but I'd rather see that. And frankly, I mean, I've seen some fan reaction that I agree with, which is like, okay, well, good. That's like you said, better than the guy who never, ever will blame anybody else and just will never just acknowledge that, you know, everybody makes mistakes. But what you mentioned, you know, talking about Todd Downing, and I mean, I think you're probably right. No, even if there's really nothing to nitpick, he'll probably be a discussion tomorrow. How many times last year after games was he the primary complaint for people? I feel like overall big picture we talked about him. It's like, gosh, how much of this is just Arthur Smith leaving, Todd Downing's in? We talked about the Raiders season, what Raiders fans think of him. I just don't remember that many games last year where it was like, oh, God, this call or that call. I mean, there were some. But the problem is you have two straight games now. You have the Bengals game where, although Tannehill was – absolutely the most to blame, Todd Downing had to share a lot of that, and then this last time out. But it's not like it's been this constant Todd Downing thing, right?
Unless it hasn't been.
Misremembering. I mean,
look,
this.
We talked about it. I remember talking about it after the Arizona game last year of, okay, well, how much of that was on Todd Downing?
Sure.
And that was, you know, it was after Arthur Smith. That's the thing. And we talked about this the moment he got hired. You're filling some pretty big shoes coming in with Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of pressure on you that way. You know, the pressure to me for him this year is totally different than it was a year ago because we all expected the offense to be top five offense in the league last year. And now I think there's pressure the other way because I'm looking around as it's currently constructed and saying, okay, what can you create out of this? Like, it's two different challenges to me. And, you know, We're going to see how that happens tonight. Like, I am – the biggest criticism that I have of him that I think is warranted and that Titans fans, I think, have every right to be upset about is, like, the first down runs are ridiculous. Like, you can't have The number was, I think, 79% that we talked about last week. We're first and 15 and below. It's a first down run. Like, that can't happen. You can lean run. You know, obviously, if you got Derrick Henry on your team, you want to be a run-first team. But 80% is ridiculous. So that's something that's got to get fixed as they move forward. I think sometimes, and I think it's true in this case too, that people have gone a little bit overboard with the Todd Downing stuff. Like, he did make some good calls in that game too. So, you know, that happens when you get to this stage of a discussion with an offensive coordinator. But the one thing that I think is very valid that they've got to get better on, and I'm interested to see if they do it tonight, like first downs, you can't just – everybody in the building can't know what you're about to do every time.
Yeah, and it's – look, I totally understand, okay, this is who we are. Let's establish it. Yeah, we're coming right at you. Yeah, you know we're running on first down. We know it too. Come deal with it. And then in the fourth quarter, you're going to hate dealing with it. I mean, I think that's the philosophy. I mean, Vrabel wears the run the damn ball shirt all the time. He believes in physical football, and so absolutely this is a Vrabel philosophical thing. But that doesn't mean that you always do it. And certainly you have to be unpredictable. You have to keep defenses off balance, and you have to have balance. And he knows that too. I think just a little bit more of mixing that up would help them. And that's going to be very much scrutinized tonight. The number of first down runs is going to be like a constantly tweeted thing. Be tweeted like play-by-play, like some of your favorite NFL beat writers.
They were on some yesterday. My goodness, a lot of play-by-play going on in the league yesterday.
There's a third and three. Four-yard catch.
Specifically down south a little bit. There's a lot of play-by-play going on. Liam on the text line says, it was obviously an awful call, but then he compounds his error by talking to the media about it. Vrabel must be beside himself.
What?
It's coming from Liam
on the text line. He was asked about it, and he took responsibility. What, you think Vrabel's mad that he said, yeah, that was a bad call?
No.
It doesn't – like, ultimately, it doesn't really mean much either way. But I would prefer people to go ahead and say, yep, raise my hand, yep, that's on me. Put it on me. I think that's good. You know, it's like when the other way around of this is like when nobody wants to take the credit, you know, everybody, yeah, whatever that cliche is. Well, when nobody wants to take responsibility for blame, I think that's a bad thing. For a football team. So, no, there's nothing wrong with saying that was on me. I was just like, good for him. It doesn't take any heat off him and on a weekly basis doing that job. But I was impressed.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into a brutal performance for the Indianapolis Colts yesterday down in Jacksonville. Not pretty from Matt Ryan and company. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A wild weekend in the NFL. Some great games yesterday, and they're showing the highlights of the Baltimore-Miami game right now. It's an awesome game yesterday. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But a very interesting result in the AFC South yesterday. Jacksonville shuts out Indy 24-0 down in Jacksonville, Florida. They dominated that game against the Colts. Matt Ryan, 16 of 30, 195 yards, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Colts offense was brutal yesterday. Quite frankly, the Colts offense has been brutal in each of the first two games against the Texans and the Jags. And now, with an opening schedule of Houston in week 1, Jacksonville in week 2, the Colts don't have a win. They're 0-1-1. And they got totally destroyed by Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. I was watching a lot of that game too, Joe. It was pretty incredible to watch how much Jacksonville just totally dominated that game from start to finish.
I'm going to read again from my friend Zach Kiefer, who has been accused by some of being a massive Colts homer. This is from The Athletic. Quote, right now the Colts are a poorly constructed, poorly coached football team with an aging quarterback and a bad left tackle, a one-man receiving core, an overpaid and underachieving offensive line, and a lifeless defense that's grossly lacking an identity while its best player is sidelined. Two games in, the Colts, a popular pick to win the AFC South, have played like one of the worst teams in football, out-schemed and largely outplayed by a pair of opponents most will figure will finish at or near the bottom of the league, end quote. although I will argue a little bit. I'm kind of, I mean, the biggest takeaway from this is the Colts are just a disaster right now. I'm kind of liking the Jags, though. I'm kind of liking the Jags. I think the Jags are interesting this year. Like, they're like what people think the Lions are, and they're wrong. They should be talking more like about that, about the Jags, in my opinion.
They're interesting.
But, yes, more. It is a bigger deal. The bigger deal here is that the Colts are just a disaster right now, and people may be getting fired.
Well, Frank Reich, look, I don't pretend to know what goes on in the mind of Jim Irsay. That could be a dangerous place to be sometimes, but I can't imagine that he is anything less than irate with the way these two games have gone. I mean, you have Houston and Jacksonville to begin your schedule. We talked about it. Like, if you're the Titans, it's part of why that game against the Giants hurt so much is because you let one get away and the Colts were, you know, messing around with Houston and ended up tying the game. You know, it's Houston and Jacksonville begin the season. The Colts have Kansas City coming up on Sunday. So they're staring 0-1. That'll be 0-2-1. That's going to drive me nuts all year.
Oh, I know.
0-2-1 right in the face coming up against Kansas City. Yeah, it just drives me insane. But Matt Ryan was horrible yesterday. And I know, look, they didn't have Michael Pittman, and he is a really good player. He's their number one receiver. Matt Ryan, I mean, at least two of the picks he threw yesterday were just brutal.
Bad.
Just brutal.
Very bad.
Interceptions. And, you know, again, I said this earlier in the show. It's week two. So I try not to overreact too much from what we've seen thus far. Like, the Bengals are 0-2, and I still think they're probably going to be okay as they move forward if they, you know, at some point decide to protect their quarterback. But the Colts look really bad through the first two games of the season. And specifically, their offense looks really bad. Their offensive line, which gets all this love every year heading into a season, and I get it, Quentin Nelson's a really good player. But they're not a good offensive line right now, and they haven't been. Last year, they were not a good offensive line, especially in pass protection, and that's been a problem so far this year as well. And I've been trying to tell people, like Matt Ryan, if you've watched him play the last couple of years, he's nowhere near the same guy that he used to be. Now, I'm not saying that they can't get things figured out and he can't be a more efficient, good player as the season goes on. But right now, he kind of looks like the Matt Ryan that I've seen in Atlanta the last couple of years. And if that's going to be what he is, this team has no chance. Like, he has not been good through the first two games. And he was terrible yesterday.
This is actually a pretty good example of camp practice. By the way, there's still the people on the text line talking about, like, preseason games, people playing the preseason games. It's my favorite thing in sports. But this is a little bit of – now, some would say, well, no, this is an example of the homerish indie media. But I think it's a good example of, like, someone can look real good in camp and, like, fire the ball all over the field and stuff, and it's not real football. Like, there's limitations I want to meet. And, look, like I said all during camp, ooh, watch out for Austin Hooper. Oh, boy, Tannehill and Hooper. And maybe that doesn't turn out to be true at all, so there's another example. So it's not like we don't fall into that. I don't fall into that at times. But there were some days where it was like, Matt Ryan looks ridiculous out here. And
well, that's what drove me nuts, honestly. Some of the stuff from the indie media out of this, and this happens, they did it with Carson Wentz, and they did it with Matt Ryan this year too, of, oh, my gosh, Matt Ryan out there just looks great. He looks incredible. It's like Peyton Manning out there. Like, okay, all right. Well, let's see how that goes on the field.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Matt Ryan is, I mean, he can't, escape the pocket. He can't – if he doesn't get protection, if you have a bad left tackle, which is what Matt Pryor is,
he is
for
bad.
Matt Ryan, you know, you're in trouble. And the thing is, I thought, look, Jonathan Taylor, he's right up there among the top, you know, one of the top two backs in the league. He hasn't had a good running back. They have a good offensive line, or so I thought. Right now, it looks terrible. $42.2 million is what they are paying for that offensive line. That's number one in the league.
Yep.
That's how much of a cap that offensive line is eating up. Number one in the league, they've allowed 7 sacks and 18 hits on him in 2 games. So if that's what Matt Ryan's going to get, then he's really going to look bad. But and then at the same time, like you said, like a couple of those picks yesterday are like, what are you doing picks? But it's almost like at that point, they were just desperate to try to make any kind of plays.
They were completely dominated. The first one, he's throwing off his back foot into double cover. It's just terrible, terrible interception from him yesterday.
Then the thing about, you know, the thing is they've had this revolving door. I mean, think about how much better like Phillip Rivers was 2 years ago than so far what Matt Ryan is.
Kevin.
They're regressing in their revolving door.
Kevin on the text line says, hold on now. 2 weeks ago, Joe was picking the Colts. Anyone who thought Matt Ryan was their savior has no sense of history. Y'all bought into the same hype everyone else was handing out the Colts. They suck, and Matt Ryan does too. This is from Kevin on the text line.
Well, first of all, Robbie didn't. Robbie picked the Titans, and questioned, and Michelle picked the Titans, and Robbie questioned the Matt Ryan thing. I did pick the Colts, absolutely. I did not think they would stink like this. So it's early. They were 0-3 and I think 1-4, right, last year?
That is correct.
Horrific. And then they were, well, they were about to make the playoffs, and they went to Jacksonville. So
it's a house of horrors for them down there.
It's early, but no, look, I mean, I'm among the surprises in the NFL right now. You know, you've got the pleasant surprises like in Miami and Tua, which is just amazing so far. Who else would be on
the Giants are 2-0.
Yeah, the Giants are 2-0. They are 2-0. I'm still, you know, we'll see with them.
Rock fight out there between them and Carolina yesterday.
Yeah. But I mean, the Colts have to be the biggest surprise in the league, right? I mean, the Colts being as inept as they are.
Bengals 0-2 would be right there with them. But yeah.
Yes. This is true. Bengals being 0-2, and the Bengals not looking like they're any better at all at protecting Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. But no, look, hey. If I'm wrong, it looks like I'm going to be wrong. But the thing is, well, who looks good in this division?
To your point, the thing is, there's a very real chance tonight that the Colts could be 0-1-1 and still be better than the Titans in the standings. Like, the Titans are staring 0-2 right in the face tonight. Now, you know, that's why you play the game. We've seen Vrabel and the Titans come up huge in these situations a ton of times before. So, Titans very well could go out and win tonight, but they're 10-point underdogs on the road against Buffalo. There's a very real chance they're 0-2 as we wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and if they look terrible tonight, then it's, well, I don't know. I guess we could just talk more about the Jags tomorrow, I guess. Right?
Bring it on.
They become the new AFC South faves.
It's going to be a long season.
At 1-1. This has the makings of a very special division this year.
Yes, it does. Travis on the text line says, Matt Ryan is as mobile as a skateboard on a gravel road. I like that one.
All right, we got another Colts fan, Jameson. I'm embarrassed as a Colts fan. I don't see them having a chance against the Chiefs next week. And if they lose week 4 against the Titans, Reich has to go. With the loss to Doug Peterson, it seems more like he was the QB whisperer in Philly, not Reich. Oh, that's an interesting point. They were together there, weren't they?
They were.
With Mr. Wentz, who, by the way, didn't look good most of yesterday against the miserable, pathetic Lions.
Well, it's the NFL. You know, I think they're at home against Kansas City. They could very well win that game. So we'll see what happens on that front. But, I mean, I'll definitely be picking Kansas City to win the game. You could be 0-3 coming into – like, there's a very real chance, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but there's a chance in week 4 when the Titans and Colts play each other.
In Indy.
That the Titans are 0-3 and the Colts are 0-2-1.
My goodness. Someone has to win. Although they could tie again. They could tie.
They could. And I know the Raiders, they're 0-2 right now. The Raiders could absolutely beat the Titans.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is a very real chance that the Colts and Titans could be winless heading into that game.
I think the Titans are going to give the Bills a game tonight. I think it's going to be tough for them to win. We're very likely going to be talking about 0-2 Titans, 0-2 Raiders. You can't get to 0-3. You want to talk about like percentage of making the playoffs at 0-3?
Not good.
Yeah, and then – yes, you could absolutely be 0-3 going to Indy.
One of the things that stood out to me yesterday, and I know a lot of this is because it's the way the game played out and they were down from the jump, but I remember back to the conversation we had with Bob Kravitz a few weeks ago, and he talked about maybe the Colts not wanting to rely as heavily on Jonathan Taylor this year at 24 years old or however old he is. I mean, yesterday he had 9 carries for 54 yards. Like, I understand you're down in the game. There's never a situation where Jonathan Taylor should have 9 carries.
Well, it's almost like, honestly, we ripped Todd Downing / Vrabel about the predictability of Derrick Henry. But, man, at least they give their best player a chance to, like, make plays.
Yeah.
Like, Frank Reich is, like, a little bit too much the other way, right? Nah, they're not going to guess this. Yeah, sometimes just go ahead and give him the ball. Speaking of Bob Kravitz, let me just really quick read his lead. I'm just really enjoying reading my coworkers today on the Colts. Quote, when the Colts urinated down their legs last season with a playoff berth on the line, it was generally accepted that it was largely Carson Wentz's fault. About that, no more Wentz slander. It was cheap and wrong-headed. And as we see that for first two games, hugely inappropriate. And it's true. Everybody wanted a scapegoat. The Wentz wagon. I mean, it was all,
that's all well and good. And all that. Now, yeah. Bob Kravitz did come on our show and talk about how bad Carson Wentz was and how much different it was with Matt Ryan. So there is that.
Fair point. Well, all right. So maybe he's calling himself out.
Maybe so.
Sometimes we all need to do that, don't we?
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Colts and the AFC South. Also get to a bunch of other wild games in the NFL yesterday as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show today, live from the Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 3:45 to 5:45 prior to the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Colts on a wild day of NFL football yesterday. The Colts fall to 0-1-1 after losing 24-0 to the Jags. So we talked about the almost said Greg Allman. It wasn't Greg Allman. It was Michael DeRocco on Friday. The tweet that he said the Jags are 5-30 in their last 35 games. Three of those wins coming against the Colts make that 6-30 with four of the wins coming against the Colts. Now it really is incredible. And Corey brought this up earlier, like. What happens to the Colts in Jacksonville? Like, what do they do down there? Since 2014, they've not won in Jacksonville. And think about how many just truly awful Jacksonville teams have taken the field since then.
Yeah. Well, and their last trip there was just complete head-scratcher. And, again, that's where the, well, let's blame everything on Wentz came out of. And, there was a lot of stuff about Wentz in the locker room or whatever and that week and all that. But I think that the what the heck happened – yesterday is that a better football team kicked the crap out of a lesser football team. I mean, there was no smoke and mirrors in this one. This was not some weird, like, it was pretty much domination start to finish. So what does that mean? Is it really mostly a commentary on the Colts? I think I would give it more than 50%, but I think it's also a bit of a commentary on, I like Trevor Lawrence a lot, man. I like how he played yesterday. I like where things are going for him.
I was
going
to say, everybody's been waiting on kind of the light bulb to turn on for Trevor Lawrence. I thought he was okay against Washington in the first game, and then he threw a pretty bad pick at the end of the game. He was lights out yesterday. I mean, 25 of 30, 235 yards, two touchdowns. And there were so many people tweeting yesterday about, wow, look what Trevor Lawrence looks like with Urban Meyer not down there ruining the whole thing. I mean, I think we knew that was going to be the case to some degree this year. But yesterday was, I think, a pretty good reminder of, okay, that guy's got some special tools at his disposal, and he was really, really good yesterday.
Yesterday around the NFL, with two guys in particular, was a reminder that, yes, they could both be really good. And, I mean, a lot of people have given up on Tua, but he was astoundingly good yesterday. By the way, 13 for 17, 199, and four touchdowns in the fourth quarter at Baltimore. With those receivers, but also Trevor Lawrence. You know, you mentioned the stats. That doesn't include an absolute dime he threw that wasn't complete in the end zone, but it was one of those throws that you're just like, whoa, man. Yeah. And the way he's moving right now, there's a little bit of, like Josh Allen kind of just big, physical, tough to bring down when he breaks the pocket and can pick up, some yardage with his feet. He's interesting. They're interesting. But at the same time, how can the Colts just get trounced like that? How could they be? They have been, Matt Ryan got hot a little bit, and they actually had the late drive at Houston that was really all Jonathan Taylor. So for about like 6 minutes of football, they looked like a NFL team.
Yeah.
And other than that, for let me do the math on that, about 114 minutes of football, they've looked like absolute cheeks, like terrible.
Well, toss in a 10-minute overtime, too.
Well, that's true, too. That's right. That's right. They have subjected us to more than 120 minutes of their football.
They have. God. It's been quite the start to the season. You brought up Tua. What a game yesterday in Baltimore. Miami wins 42-38. Looked like that game was over. I mean, Ravens were up 28-7 Lamar was doing whatever he wanted to do. He hit Rashad Bateman for a long one in that game. He took off for a 75-yarder himself in that, or 79-yarder himself in that game, and it looked like the Baltimore was about to cruise to victory. And then Miami just decided they're going to keep throwing the ball left and right to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Pretty good strategy for the Dolphins. They win 42-38. Tyreek Hill, 11 catches, 190 yards, 2 touchdowns on 13 targets. And Jalen Waddle, 19 targets yesterday, 11 catches, 171 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. Those two are and are going to continue to be a problem for the opponents as they go through the course of this year. Tua looked great yesterday.
Yes, he can throw down the field. Yes, last year he had, you know, a bad offense, and he basically just checking down all the day. He can throw down the field. Anybody who saw him play at Alabama knows that he has tremendous arm talent, and I love the way he moved around and made plays. I did not love the way the Ravens decided not to cover Tyreek Hill down the field a couple times. That was weird, but, man, that's a really fun, interesting team. I mean, the biggest surprises through two, you'd have to go Colts being this bad, Dolphins being 2-0 the way that they have been, have become 2-0. What else? I guess the Giants. Are the Giants, I'm still a little bit like, they had a kind of a weird fluky win here, and
I think the
Panthers are about to get another coach fired here soon.
I think the Panthers are terrible. I mean, the Bengals being 0-2 is a big surprise.
That's in your top three of surprises so far.
You know, they got beat by Cooper Rush yesterday as a starting quarterback of the Cowboys, who, by the way, he looked pretty good.
He did look pretty yesterday. Good.
So, shout out to Cooper Rush. But, yeah, I mean, the Colts, the Bengals, they got to be on the short list of surprises that we've seen thus far in the league. I mean, I guess depending on who you ask, the Raiders, but although, you know, they played the Chargers the first game. Let one get away from them yesterday for sure, but I still think they're going to be formidable as the season goes on. But Colts are turning heads the wrong direction, no question about it, so far as the season has gone on. So great games yesterday. We talked about Miami and Baltimore. There was a rock fight in New England or in Pittsburgh between the Patriots and the Steelers yesterday. The Patriots win that one. One of the games of the day outside of the Dolphins Ravens was that Raiders game. Raiders look like they had it all sealed up, and the Cardinals come back. They score a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie things up as time expires in the fourth quarter, and then they win it on a fumble return for a touchdown in overtime. Kyler Murray, you know, we've made fun of him a lot here on this program because of the independent work study clause and playing video games and all that stuff, and it's been fun to do that. He made some special plays yesterday in that second half.
Yeah, no, the ability to extend plays and make – ridiculous throws and runs, man. I mean, the Raiders should be 1-1. The Browns and Ravens should both be 2-0.
Yeah.
Three astounding blown games all in the same conference yesterday, leaving two unbeaten teams. Three, but if the Titans get the Bills, that'll leave only the Dolphins and Chiefs as unbeaten in this conference.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely just gold for the NFL. They love it.
That's exactly what they're looking for, no question about it. I mean, the Rams, they take down the Falcons yesterday, 31-27. It was a blowout. It was 28-3 at one point, and then Marcus started leading them back. They got back in the game, but ultimately they fall just short. I think in all seriousness with him, I think he's been okay through 2 weeks. I wonder how long that's good enough, especially if they keep losing, to hold on to the starting job. Like, I think at some point you're going to see Ritter this year eventually. I wonder how long Marcus can hold that off.
Yeah, I don't think, has been the problem, except for he's made, you know, a couple critical mistakes, which, hey, man, that's the difference between winning and losing a lot of weeks. I mean, they should be 1-1 right now after that loss. I don't know. It may be once they're punting on the season that they make the move, but I'm sure Falcons fans wanted earlier. I think he's looked okay.
And then a tough one yesterday. Trey Lance goes down. Jimmy G comes in. Trey Lance out for the season with an ankle injury. So it's going to be the Jimmy G show once again in San Francisco. They win yesterday 27-7 against the Seattle team. It's just not good. It's kind of amazing Denver found a way to lose that game.
Denver might be bad.
They might not be good.
Denver might be like the clear last place team, although I know the Raiders are 0-2 right now, but they look clearly like the fourth best team in that division.
Tough news on Trey Lance.
That's brutal, and obviously it worked out well for them to have Jimmy G ready. There's a four-way tie for 1-1 in that division right now.
Coming up next, we'll get into the a little college football over the weekend. The Vols, a big win against Akron, and a bigger weekend coming up in Knoxville this week as well, and a big one for Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.